Okay, it's my great pleasure today to introduce a real nice person I've met recently, fast becoming one of my favorite friends in New York, probably one of my only friends in New York. A lady that actually is a linguist as well as a children's teacher. She does PSI with children and also has a lot of abilities with things like telekinesis and words. So, my pleasure to introduce to you Ellie Molina. Hi, Ellie.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Dominic. How are you? And thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's really nice, isn't it? It's almost like we could have just continued on from last time and it would have been, poetic justice, really, wouldn't it? Because this is about you this week, and we're going to talk about the things that you get involved with and some of the things that you've done and some of the things you're going to be doing, and literally just been able to relate to some of the stuff because a lot of the things that you're into, I'm into. And I
Yeah,
think
I know.
that's why it's going to be such an interesting conversation. The only thing I wish is we had more time. I wish we could do it for 2 hours rather than 1 hour. But I know that I don't want to send too many people off to sleep, do we, early when they're listening? And also, we want to make sure we cover a lot of bases, but we can always come back and cover those bases further in the future. So,
Absolutely.
so. So I'm going to start off by first things first by just telling the listeners where they can find you. You mean your website is elliemolina.com. So if you want to know anything about Ellie, go and look at the website. Everything's on there. There's a lot of good information on there, but there's some specialist areas as well where they can come and contact you and they can talk to you. So we'll start off with one of those specialist areas and just tell me, introduce me a little bit to your work with children, Ellie, because that sounds a very, very nice, very sort of pleasant place to be.
Oh, Dominic, it's really a fabulous place. So, I have been an educator pretty much all my life, and I started teaching in the classroom, and then I did close to 39, 40 years of teaching in the classroom, no joke. Then after I left the classroom, I started working on my own programs where I teach children. I teach children consciousness, conscious awareness. How to use language differently from the very get-go, and then how to start to develop trust and utilize their natural intuitive and psychic abilities. See, we're all psychic, we're all intuitive, it's within us. And then we know as we get older and start going into the world, it starts to be taken out of us, or we start doubting ourselves. So I have put together programs, an online program, my books, where I work with children and their adults, and doesn't necessarily have to be their parents, it's an adult. And I work with children and their adults, or I work with adults who want to work with themselves or have children to work with. And what I do is I begin creating the conversation of conscious awareness. I begin creating how language creates our reality. And then we go into diving into the psychic phenomena and the connection between that and, like, why would a kid want to know that? Is empowerment, self-confidence, self-esteem, and amazing things happen for children. So
So it powers them. It gives them their self-awareness to see that there is much more going on than what they actually first become experienced of. So it's not just school, it's about how they see their thoughts, how they feel things, maybe even how they manifest. Is that where you lead from? How would
Part of it's I'm
how
sorry,
would
go
it,
ahead.
no, thank you. How would the child find you? How would they know where to look for you, Ellie?
Oh, so it's through that frequency. I believe it's all frequency and frequency specific. So kids will come to me if their parents are on the frequency of wanting this work, or if they do Google search. Okay, you will find me. It's called my site. It's the Psy Kids Academy, and it's on my website. So it's part of the website. You just have to go to Ellie Molina, and then there's the Psy Kids Academy. Now, for anybody who's new at this, I have created a 16-page free guide that you can download, which is What if? And this is where I teach adults, I start with adults to create this magic with their children every single day. And you can use this magic with yourself. So it's a very gentle introduction into the world of what I call magic. Now, it's not magic, oh, hocus pocus, you know, abracadabra, witches, and that's not magic. Magic for me is really quantum science, but there's so much that quantum science has not really been able, well, there's to confirm, and there are so many people who doubt that what quantum science has confirmed and has proven is real. So for me, I just said, you know what, I'm not going to bore people with quantum science if they don't get it. And I'm just going to call it magic, pure, simple magic. Can I share a story that just happened recently?
Of course. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. So I was being filmed by, I don't know if your listeners are familiar, but you can all Google search this. Betsy Chassey is the producer, one of the producers of the 2004. Oh boy. Okay. This is what happens when you get a little bit older. So anyway, Betsy Chassey is the creator, producer of the 2004 hit movie, What the Bleep. And going down the rabbit hole, I'm not, you know, many people can Google search it. It was one of the first movies that came out about quantum physics and this realm. Okay. Anyway, Betsy's been following up on her work, and she's in the process of creating a project called the Galileo Project, which is a new documentary that will be released in 2023. So this is time travel over here, right? So
yes.
She interviewed me for the documentary and I worked with a child. And so there's a segment of me working with this child. We did telepathy remote viewing. And when he got the hit is what it's called when you see. Now we're thousands of miles away. We're on Zoom. And when he then saw the image that was projected to him from my side telepathically, his face lit up. He was excited. And I asked him, I said, what are you feeling? He goes, oh God, I feel so good. I feel so confident. I feel so, so happy. Okay. And that is the kind of energy that experience, Dominic, that experience for anybody, no matter how old we are, when we have that hit, we are magical beings. We can manifest things. We can see across time, distance, and space. We are capable of doing incredible things. When we have that in our body anchored in as an emotion, do you realize how powerful we are in terms of no longer self-doubting our abilities, where we can go in the world? It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just magical.
It's the manifestation of realization, isn't it? And as soon as we start to manifest what we realize and what we know to be true, as soon as we believe in it, it creates it. And I think we're all spiritual beings. And I think we're very used to manifest everything. That's why when we're here, we're so impatient. We want everything right now. I know the spiritual people amongst us. Because we just want it now. We don't want to wait. And that's because we've been used to creating through thought. And this is really what you're talking about within this particular program and remote viewing, which, again, someone called Ingall Swan really introduced me to that. And he was the pioneer of remote viewing. That was the interesting part of it, is as soon as you realize your mind can open up and actually explore other possibilities, then the fact that we're limitless is able to be seen. It doesn't just have to be believed as a faith. It can actually be experienced. And that's the difference. So that sounds like a really interesting part of what you've been doing, Ellie. That sounds like a fascinating thing to really ask you more about. And where is it taking you? What are you doing with these particular understandings and skills? What are you going to use them for in the future?
So what I'm doing with them right now is helping children and adults to begin with empowering themselves, right? But I do take it further, Dominic. It goes into what I call quantum leaping. It's a program that I created a few years ago. And in the Quantum Leaping program, it's where we become magical manifestors. We become the supreme manifestors. We create the reality that we say we want. We actually create it. We create it together. I create it with kids. I create it with adults. And we step into it. And then the world, the universe, the way that things work has an uncanny, remarkable way of bringing things through to fruition in the most amazing ways. Okay, we think, how can we do this? And the ways in which the how appear are beyond our understanding. So,
which is a fantastic statement, isn't it? And that brings me very easily onto the next question for you, because there's something I read about you today, which I thought was really quite interesting. You talked about how lost objects find their owners. It's a very interesting part of this particular perception of where thought comes from. So can you tell me a little bit about how lost objects find their owners?
Okay, so this is, again, belief. Who knows what this is? I mean, but okay. Let's call it belief, okay? Whatever. This is a what's so for me, okay? That all objects, everything is a frequency. Everything is a frequency. A pen is a frequency. The book is a frequency. The table, the plant, everything is a frequency. And when we are frequency specific with our object, we can call it forth. We can ordain it to us. It will come. If we're not frequency specific with it and all the work in the world, it will not return to us. That's just how it is. However, when we are frequency specific with our particular object, it will come. It will return to us, no matter where it is.
Can we just talk about the frequency specific? Because I want to understand that a little bit deeper. Because I think that there's merit in the understanding that everything's frequency, because I look at auras, everything's frequency, everything has a color signature. Something like this, when we actually relate to it or the frequency is specific to us, does it then become a part of us? Does it become a part of who we are, or is it something that we can add into our consciousness?
There's no way for me to prove any of this. I believe that it evolves. It evolves. Our frequency can change, right? It's like, it's not just like with an aura, right? Our auras can change as we become perhaps more spiritual, as we become more loving, as we become more intellectual. I'm sure that there's that the aura can.
Oh, they change moment to moment, Ellie. As soon as people relax, they change, and you know, people's auras are constantly altering. It's the thought of knowledge that matters to people, because I don't think it really matters whether it can be proven as a scientific paper or whether it's a concept that's there for people to explore. I like to think of things being there for people to explore so they can find their own truths, if they want to find it, in a way that they understand it. It's very important to understand how you see it and from your truth, because you've done a lot of work into this. This is something you're very up above and something you're thinking about clearly in a very good way. And so how you come to think about it, that's what I'm interested in. Not in necessarily the, you know, how Ellie thinks about the frequencies.
So I see them as, it's for me, it's an energy, an energetic frequency. And we can use, let's use a little bit of science over here. We can use David Hawkins' scale of frequencies in his book, Power versus Force, where things vibrate at frequencies. And we have evidence and proof. Again, here I go in my evidence and proof scale. We do have evidence and proof of this. Through somatics, you know, with music, and we can see this. So there is a frequency that exists, and it's universal. The language of music, it is universal. So as we begin to step into, let's call it higher frequencies through our thoughts, okay, thoughts begin, we start feeling better, our emotions become better, our something shifts in our body, we become happier. So then the frequency starts to rise, and then we get into a higher energetic frequency level. And as we get into that higher level where we have this effervescence and we're happy, what happens is that we then begin to attract other experiences that vibrate at this particular higher frequency, which is the higher frequency or joy and love and trust and happiness. These are effervescent. These are very fast frequencies. Things happen very quickly in this realm. And the lower frequencies of guilt and shame and anger and resentment, things are heavier. The mass is heavier. It's mass to mass. It's an, you know.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What I'm really, really keen about is letting people know that we can choose.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. We choose. Which frequency we're in. We can be in one of emotional unhappiness, or we can be one in pure joy. The thing is, we have to be able to count into our mortal lives the circumstances, because obviously circumstances play a huge part. And how we feel certainly attracts the way that we're starting to think. So our emotions come before thought, but our thought comes before the things that we're manifesting. So everybody's emotional state of mind is the most important thing. So if you're to work on, for instance, say your calmness, say your gentleness, say your love, and you become just focused on those three areas, then your frequency becomes much more akin to being able to deal with situations that are quite difficult. So they don't become big issues. They become smaller issues that are dealt with simpler. You know, there's a simple way of doing it. And really what you're saying to me is that the frequencies we attract around us come from us. And if we attract the right frequencies, then we attract the right people. So we're talking about a part of the law of attraction, aren't we? What we think is what we bring to us.
In some ways, yes. Absolutely. I like to look at it a little bit. Maybe it's all the same, just different words. Okay. I like to look at it as, for example, we're emotional bodies, right? That's like a part of us. We have these emotional bodies. I can say something to you and then it will trigger you. Okay, so the emotion is embedded into your body. You've had an experience during the time that you were zero to your age. And so there's the emotional trigger. And what happens is that emotional trigger goes into the memory. It's part of the memory. It may be conscious, unconscious, and then the body has a response to it. And then as soon as the body has a response to it, that is when the thought gets triggered or the emotion gets triggered, and then the response. Okay. Now, for example, if I say something to you and then all of a sudden you get like really super angry, that emotion is rooted in the past somewhere, probably between zero to whatever age you are now. It's not something that's happening now. It's happened in the past. Then the moment that you have that emotion, if you have consciousness, and this is what I teach, if you have awareness of that emotion and you can identify, oh, that's that old emotion, that's that root cause, then you have consciousness and awareness, and even you can allow the emotions to go through your body. You don't have to give into those circumstances. You can create other circumstances because of your awareness of it.
Okay. And do you know where I'm going to go with this right now? Because there's so many questions that come from that one bit, Ellie. Why would it need to be this lifetime?
It doesn't.
Okay.
And now. I didn't say that.
Which is brilliant. That's what
I said. Zero. I said zero. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I did say zero. But what happens in zero? Okay. Yeah. Dominic, it is exactly right. It doesn't need to come from this lifetime.
Can we cross over from past lifetimes into current lifetimes into future lifetimes with these phobias?
You know what? This is what I'm working on right now, Dominic. We are so telepathically connected. I am experimenting with this right now. It's not on any one of my websites. It's not there, but it is in my work with one-on-one people that I'm doing right now. When I'm doing my consulting programs, I am looking at that. Yes. To be able to go back into the, let's call it the, I don't like to use these words, the Akashic records. And I find words, certain words just limiting in then the interpretation of it. So without calling it any particular name, I'm just going to refer to it to go back into our ancestry, into our personal history
of
generations. Okay.
Yeah. That's
and
fine.
lifetimes. So it's our own, and so it's a little, it's our own lifetimes where we've been, and yet it's also the ancestral lifetimes. So it's a pretty big pot.
Could it as well add to that pot by being future lifetimes? And one more little bit I want to add in, right? Could there be such a thing as soul-to-soul communication?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I want to bring it all out into this conversation.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. because I do think we're timeless, limitless. Yeah, we are absolute. And when we're authentic, we're connecting to all the things that we are, which is everything we've ever been, everything we are today, and everything we are in future lifetimes. So we're concurrently running all our lifetimes. Everything runs together. So all our phobias, fears, knowledge, likes, dislikes, all together. We just got to be able to recognize them and access them. So in other words, what we've done is we've been able to have traumas, cope with traumas, invent new things, understand them as old things. Yeah, I mean, everything in our life is literally timeless. Just take out the time. And that's where all these things that are remaining with us, some of these things that are shaken down, and where, yeah, like Ellie's got something doing on, you know, something she's got something about, or something that she's finding hard to grasp, or Dominic's finding something difficult to understand right now, it's all been worked out. It's all done. We've just got to access that moment. So the chances are everything we've done, we've repeated the same conversations many, many times, and the familiarity that we bring to the conversation is what we have to be able to allow people to understand for themselves. And the hardest thing we do as facilitators is allow other people to have the same thoughts, because they have to come up with them themselves.
Agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Uh-huh. Yeah. Does...
Yeah. And we, I mean, we could say, because again, it's the same thing. We could babble the same thing over and over and over again to somebody, and then they'll never hear it from us, but they can go to the local bar and the person sitting right next to them can say the same thing, and then they can hear it.
And that's what I wanted to bring in, a synchronicity. Because if we bring in synchronicity into that attraction, there's no synchronicity, because we're just attracting.
Oh, back to the frequencies.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's so important that we get the frequencies right around our life, because that way we're limitless.
And then can I change? This gets to something else that I was thinking about this morning.
Okay.
That not everybody is interested, you know, in becoming a limitless being. Not everybody is interested in. I read a quote that I found, you know, really, really powerful, and I'm just going to share it with you a second.
Thank you.
And it's from a book called The Quest in the Calendar, and the author writes that, "I have heard that some seekers are selected by the divine to walk the spiritual path." And so that had me thinking, you know, you and I are definitely seekers walking the spiritual path. There's absolutely no doubt. But what about all of the other people that they just don't care? This is not their, you know, this is not their thing. And so then I wonder about, you know, It just gets me thinking, Dominic, about we're over here talking about being limitless beings and walking spiritual paths and affecting, you know, other people's lives on the planet. And then we'll touch certain people's lives. And then there's the whole other frequency. You know where I'm talking.
I know exactly what you mean, but that circumstance.
It's like another world. Another universe.
And maybe the fact that we could debate free choice or whether it's design or destiny. But the point is the circumstance we find ourselves in dictate what we're available for. For instance, if we found ourselves individually not talking to one another, then our conversations would be totally different because we have a different circumstance once we create this conversation. And that conversation that we're creating can be us chipping away at the face of new knowledge. You know, we could be walking on the edge of the mountain, you know, on that little footpath that's only got a couple of inches, and we could be, you know, just waiting to fall off it. Or we could just be waiting to find that little gem of knowledge that opens the next door. The next level to that understanding of who we are and what's the purpose in the universe. You know, nothing small here, just major questions. And maybe that is something that we haven't really looked at, not because we don't want to look at it, but because it doesn't interest the majority of people. And we have to have an interest in it to be able to explore it. Whereas most people are probably more worried of what they're going to have for dinner, or if their child is going to behave at school, or what the ball game result will be tonight. So we have to see that the perspective we live our life in is one of exploration rather than just in being fulfilled in that moment. We have to look past that. And that's probably what puts us apart. But then our circumstances allow us to do this. Yeah. Where they might not allow other people.
And then it gets into that to me, that crazy question again, you know, where these unanswered questions, that is this part of the karmic evolution that we find ourselves in circumstances that allow us to continue to evolve.
Okay, let's talk karmic evolution. I find that fascinating as well. Why, if there's no time, why will we evolve?
I don't know. These are questions I have no answer for.
Okay.
And then what is to say that if the universe is endless and is constantly expanding, then why would we're not limitless, and perhaps it hasn't all been done before. Okay.
There's always that possibility. I firmly believe that we are limitless and everything has been done. But the understanding of it needs to be explored. And when you start to explore these things, you have to follow it with your thoughts. And you can easily lead off the thought path. You can easily sort of dive off the edge of the mountain and lose yourself, because it's not something you think about every single day. But what is a very important path, and something that, again, you're very much a part of, is how we use our thoughts and how telekinesis is part of what we actually do. And I think that if we're all linked, which we are probably not just on this planet, but on many different planets, how can we use the capability of that knowledge to understand telekinesis? Because we're starting to be able to send out thoughts, to be able to intercept thoughts, even as far as being able to bend metal objects through thoughts at a distance. So I know that's something you're very interested in. So I want to just understand how you feel about the use of thoughts to become, if you like, living entities that can do practical things.
That's an interesting way to put it. So again, it's consciousness and awareness. Okay. And I look at, and like, you, as you said, you know, not everybody thinks about these things. I do. I walk when I'm doing I walk every single day, and I look to do 3.5 miles in my physical body. And during this time, Dominic, these are the things that I think about, believe it or not. These are where my thoughts go. So I think about all of the thing, how we're telepathically connected. Okay. So for me, that's a given. Everybody's just like the movie Avatar. So if anybody hasn't seen Avatar, James Cameron, you got to go watch this movie. We're all tapped into the universal consciousness. Now, does the universal consciousness have a cap on it? That I can't answer that, but there is for me universal consciousness. So okay. None of these ideas, and we can even look at, let's say, proof, if we need proof again, here I go, you know? So example, we're all tapped into these, imagine you have this book. I'll give you an example. So you have this book that you've wanted to write for a really long time, or you have a movie you want to produce, or there may be an object that you want to create, and it's in your head and it's in your consciousness, and you've just never done anything about it. But because it's in your consciousness, it is tapped into the universal consciousness. It is up there. It is floating around like a frequency. And there's going to be somebody who's also tapped into that consciousness and that frequency. And they're just going to pull it down. And then you're going to look and say, oh my God, they wrote the book that I wanted to write. And then your human emotion will get all indignant, or maybe not, and say like, why didn't I do that? Yada, yada. Well, because you didn't act on the thought and it went somewhere else. Okay.
So are we saying that thoughts are like apples, that people can just pick them off the tree of consciousness and just explore them? So it means
they're
that
all up there. Everybody's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two or three people could have the same identical thought at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then when we're frequency specific, when we tie in, when the wires tie in, okay, that is when, let's call it like the radio channel, right? We know the way that the TV works, the way that the radio works, okay? So when we're tuned into that particular frequency, that is when that person will call us. I'm going to give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I spent some time thinking about a very, very famous and popular writer currently. I don't want to mention any names. So I'm thinking about this particular writer.
Okay.
And this is in my consciousness. I'm thinking about it, right?
Okay.
And during the time that I'm thinking about this particular writer and producer, you want to call it random, somebody that I used to work with back from the Hollywood days calls me for a session. Okay. And what do we talk about? We talk about this particular writer. We talk about this, tapped right in. Okay. So we were frequency specific. All right. Well, you could say, well, that's just a random coincidence. Okay. Well, then explain to me why the next day somebody else calls me. All right. And what do we have a conversation about? The same person. You could say, well, I navigated that conversation. No, I didn't navigate that conversation. It was frequency specific. We tapped in. We were talking. All three of us were on the same consciousness as that person. The other two people know this person. I do not. So they don't, and the other two don't even know each other either. So my point is that we are all frequency connected. And when the connections then come together on that vibrational level, and we're aware of it and we're not shocked and surprised by it, well, then we just tune in and we're in flow. And we could do this with everything if we spent more time being conscious of it.
So how would we do that? How would we spend more time being conscious of the flow?
Awareness of our thoughts. Okay.
So how do we become aware of our thoughts, Sally?
We actually stop and look at what we're thinking during the day. We actually, so there's the teachings of, in the fourth way, the teachings of Gurdjieff. It's called remembering the self. It is, and it's actually, Dominic, it's stopping ourselves during the day. If you need to use your iPhone to stop yourself during the day, stop yourself during the day with an iPhone, where you stop yourself, you get present, and you remember yourself and who you are as possibility, as higher self, as human, as entity occupying a body, and look around what you're thinking. Like, what were you thinking in the last 20 minutes? Oh, like, I hate that person. Oh, I'm never going to have any money. Oh, I hate my job. What were you thinking? Let's just take, for example, somebody who's constantly chronically complaining about, oh, I hate my job. My boss is this, yada, yada. Why am I working here? Everybody gets break. Well, look at the stuff you're, look at the thoughts you're putting out there. Look at the energy that you, whoever that person is, are creating. So what's going to come back to you, remember from the old hermetic, as above, so below, as within, so without, that's what's going to come back to you. Those are going to be your circumstances. You going to call it law of attraction? Absolutely. It's your circumstances will be reflected back to you by the thoughts you think and the energy you are putting out there.
Both now, in the past, and even in the future. Because if there's no time, our thoughts are timeless. And so we have to be very aware that the better the thought, the easier it is to control our consciousness. And then our frequency, and then have the connection to the people that are going to respond to that frequency. Because all of what you said makes perfect sense to me. But the one thing that we must be aware of is that we need to be ready when it happens. Mm-hmm. So we recognize it. Because I think a lot of things happen while we don't recognize. Mm-hmm. I think we sleepwalk away through a lot of situations. And as soon as we're prepared, this is why I asked how do we prepare? Because I know how important it is to be able to respond to a stimuli. And if you respond to that stimuli, it's got to be a very important factor. That's when we have conversations with people that have very like-minded or on the same thought patterns or on the same frequency, as you say, frequency responsive. That's your term. I think it's a great term. I think it works really nicely. So so are you frequency responsive in your life now? Are you able to become that? Or is it just something that you evolve into?
No, for me, it's through consciousness. It's through language and consciousness and being. And again, it's through awareness. All right. So what is it that you want to be frequency specific with? What do you want? Who do you, let's say, and let's not, let's, okay, example, right now, for the sake of this conversation, we're going to limit ourselves to our physical bodies in this time continuum. All right. So we're not... We're here in this time right now, in this body, in this here, in this now. So the question becomes, well, in the here and the now, right here, right now, what do you want? Okay, because every desire that you have, every desire that is being expressed, all right, is something that, again, we can all go back and talk about past desire. We can talk about the past in this or the future, but it is something that we want to give birth to. It is a seed, all right, the seed of creativity. The desire is the seed of creativity, and we're constantly creating. So what's next? Okay, everybody wants something next.
Okay. Let me take it to a next level because I want, can we do that in our dream state? Can we order our dreams? Can we preordain what we're going to dream about? Is that possible?
Yes, absolutely. So now this goes, let's talk about some history. Robert Lewis, now the exact way that it's going to get preordained is not, again, is up to the how. That so we have no control over the how. We've got to give up the how. So we do know for historically that people in the past, Robert Louis Stevenson, commanded his dreams to give him the plots for his stories. All right, so he went to bed every single night and he asked his subconscious to deliver the plot for his next book. And so the plots for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde were delivered, and he wrote Treasure Island, also delivered. So these things were delivered to him at night while he was sleeping. That's number one. Dr. Joseph Murphy spends a lot of time talking about his own students who needed information, and then they would program their subconscious at night before going to sleep, and then they would receive the needed information. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about the possibilities of being able to make this happen for people, because I understand the actual way, the concepts behind it. I also understand, because, you know, pre-ordering dreams is something I do regularly. But I also wanted to bring it into this whole consciousness area. Whereas if we can start to use our dream state as part of our state of consciousness, then our reach becomes a lot further. Because as a soul, we can travel the multiverse. Let's just say there's a multiverse out there and we can go wherever we want. And sleep is the best time that we can release the soul from the body to go and do the travel, the astral travel, astral projection, if you like, remote viewing, all the things that we can do when we release that little consciousness part of us to be free away from the mortal constraints of having to breathe and eat and sleep and drink and all the other things. So we make ourselves much more available during our dream state. So it would make sense to explore the things that we have limited possibilities about as a mortal when we're sleeping. And that's what I was interested in, because I think that we are far more dynamic than just the mortal bodies that we live in. Yeah, we have to live and breathe in those bodies. But the actual fact that we have this capacity to go and do things outside our body, you know, if you like, superhuman, and go and explore, then that has to be a way of thinking about how we preordain our dreams to create realities that maybe we find a little bit more difficult. Maybe we have to have a bit of faith in the way that that happens, but we don't need to know how. We just need to be able to experience. And that's really where I was with that. Let's go on to the next thing. Because I'm very conscious of our time, because this goes so fast, Ellie. It's so, so quick. I'm going to ask you about archery, because I was really interested again in something I sort of found out about you. Tell us about how you do your archery.
All right. So you're talking about blindfolded, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't bring me near the room. You're doing it.
All right.
I don't know. I haven't got that much faith. Right.
So it's not just blindfolded archery is wonderful because it gives us direct feedback. I also do closed eyed swimming. So let me explain to you what that is.
Yes, please.
So with archery. Yeah. So with, let's start with the third eye. Okay. So there's an eye here. We call it the third eye. You can call it whatever you want. There's a seeing that is capable from here. It's within our forehead. And that allows us to hit a target without our eyes open. It allows us to swim to a target without our eyes open, and it is practice. So let's talk blindfolded archery, because that is the easiest thing to do. Used to teach it to the children first.
Okay.
And so we wear these mindfolds. Okay, so we're wearing mindfolds, and it covers our eyesight, our physical eyesight.
Ellie, did you say mindfolds or blindfolds?
Yeah, they're blindfolds. It's called mindfold. It's
mindfold.
The term
okay.
It's the term that's given, because this particular, not that I'm encouraging this company, but this company has developed these blindfolds that really keep people from seeing anything. They are totally dark. So there's no peeking or anything, okay? Or there's no possibility of seeing. So anyway, we wear these things, okay? These blindfolds. And then rather than stand there, well, first you have to know how to, you know, you got to know how to hold a bow and arrow. So that's a given, right? You teach yourself how to hold a bow and arrow, you get a teacher. Now, normally in traditional archery, and the Tibetans did this too, by the way, Dominic, in traditional archery, we stand there, we face the target, and then we shoot. Now, what we're doing is we do not face the target. We move our body to the side, okay? And we put it this way. So now we're seeing with our third eye. We're visualizing where the arrow will physically go,
right.
But our eyes are closed and we're not even looking in that direction. And the amazing thing is our consciousness will hit the target. Now, it takes practice, because what happens if we've learned, people who've done this for a while, we learn that when our thoughts go into the past, so does the arrow. When our thoughts go into the future, so does the arrow. So if we are not exactly present with our third eye to where we are going, we see it here and we find the way, we trust it. It's hard to explain until you do it.
No, I love this. I really love it. Target. Because you're learning to trust.
Yeah. Now I do this with swimming. I swim almost every single day. at least 3 to 4 times a week. So now I see, you know, like every lane has like a middle part to it where you can swim if you're swimming. So I close my eyes and I swim to the other side to the mark that I have declared before I started in the lane. And when I swim off track, I catch my thoughts. When I swim the other way, I catch my thoughts. When I'm on track and I'm 100% with my target, meaning my thoughts are in alignment, I swim straight to that mark that I have. And I've been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm. And you know when you actually reach that mark, you know.
Oh, yeah, because I open my eyes and it's right there. It's in front of me, okay? Like I swim
Do you ever swim into it?
No, because I stop right when I hit it. I mean,
right.
I
stop. What I was trying to find out was you're consciously aware. I want to bring it into how I would, you know, foresee it myself, because I know how hard it is to close your eyes and actually try to work out how long a minute is. A minute is a long time to have your eyes closed. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine what you swim in about 25 meters, something like that at one time, and then being able to judge, how far is a length? Mm-hmm. Is it a length you swim?
I don't know. I've been doing this for so many years, Dominic, that to me, it's just like close your eyes, swim, and you know, I know.
What's important to me is if I put you in the straight, you know, this is just me, right? Being me, being a bit pedantic, but if I was to put you into a new pool, right? Disorientate you and say, right, Ellie, you're at one end, now swim to the other end. Would you be able to do the same thing?
Yes.
Because you know exactly where that is, because your conscious mind, and all you're doing for me, right, is you're dreaming. Because when you're in a dream state, this is why I wanted to bring the question in next to dreams, is when you're in a dream state, you're doing exactly what you would do in the waking world with your eyes closed, and everything happens the same way. So why would you not be able to do that particular process if you teach yourself? Because it's about discipline of the mind, isn't it? But what I was trying to get through was, is it a timing thing or is it an awareness thing?
For me, it's an awareness thing. Because I don't know if I'm swimming slower. I can't judge the time because it depends on...
It's timeless.
On my body, right? Maybe today I'm swimming faster. Maybe the water is coming at me differently, you know? So maybe somebody's swimming in the next lane and creating waves. I need to stay focused on the other side, despite what's going on.
Yeah, I love to see that, because I think that's such a disciplined thing to be able to do. And everything we do within the psychic worlds, within the esoteric worlds, is all about being able to discipline ourselves to concentrate on the things that we may not know. Because it's trusting, isn't it? It's trusting that inner strength, that inner knowledge, that claircognizance, if you like, of the inner knowledge that we all have. But some of us find it so difficult to trust. And that's something that you've disciplined yourself to be able to trust, which is, I would recommend anyone would do that, but do it with a friend first. So you don't bump your nose on the edge of the swimming pool, or you don't fire arrows off at different targets. But it's something good that people can practice themselves in order to feel that it's capable of doing it, because we're all capable of doing this. We just have to be aware that we're capable. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so there are so many techniques that one can use to start to do that. One of the things that I also do, and I teach this I have this in my curriculum, it's an online course, but one of the things that I do also, and this is what I do it with kids. So I use a deck of playing cards. These are my created cards. This is for the kids in my academy.
Okay.
So it's the Psy Kids cards. And so what I teach the children to do, and the adults that I work with, if they are interested, again, this has got to be interesting for somebody. You got to want to take your time to do this. Like, imagine taking the cards, okay, and then spending time asking the card, reveal yourself to me, show me who you are, show me who you are, show me who you are. And then being able to say, wow, this is a red card, this is the king of something, but it's not, it's a joker. So now when I do this work, I go into, because we know how the brain waves work, I go into, this is me, I need to go into an alpha state, a deeper relaxed state, a state akin to sleep, okay? Like really deeply relaxed, okay? And then the numbers can come through. And like I'm getting a black three. Okay, I'm off. And so when I'm in beta consciousness, when I'm in this consciousness that we're in right now, it's way harder for me or anybody else even to be able to go do this. Yeah. So when I teach this now, it's interesting because when I was doing this work, the most that I ever got in a row, Dominic, were 11 cards straight in a row, just like that. Okay, okay. Suit, number, everything, just like it flowed. And when I hit 11, something happened to me. And it was like, oh, you know, like my self-talk started to shift. First, I was just like in boom, 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 eyes closed, like almost like trance state. I got to 11, Dominic, and something happened and my ego kicked in, or my fear, ego, something, my humanity. And it was like, oh my God, I'm not gonna be able to do this next one. I won't be able to do it. How can I do this? How did I do 12? It's like, okay, boom, that was it. It took me years to get back to that state, Dominic. Years.
Amazing, isn't it? It's because you're in frequency. Your phrase, you're in frequency. You're in the right frequency to be able to tune into it. And then when your human side, your ego takes over, it becomes competitive. We lose the ability to trust what we're feeling, don't we? And we pre-guess ourselves. It's fascinating. I could talk to you about this all day long, but we're not long before we're going to have to come to a close, Ellie. I've got one more question for you. But before I ask you that question, I want you to tell all the listeners where they can find you, everything that you're doing right now, any courses, any workshops, anything that people need to find you for, because you're obviously a fabulous teacher and people need to be talking to you. So how do they find you?
Thank you. EllieMolina.com. And you can email me at Ellie@elliemolina.com. It's ElliemolinA.com. So, and if you Google search, you can find me and then just find my email. And the courses that I'm teaching right now, starting in September, I am starting with a quantum leaping group course. Now, this is the same stuff that I do with my one-on-one, except that it's tailored for the group as opposed to being the individual one-on-one with a client. Hey. And so that starts in September. And we are going to create the realities that the participants say that they want. So I have that. Then ongoing, I have an online course that's, you know, evergreen. It's always there. It's called Make Magic Happen. It's for children and adults to tap into their intuitive, develop their psychic abilities. And then if people want to get on my newsletter, again, just elliemolina.com, because I am going to be offering Magic One. So I teach magic courses, not magic courses, you know, like sleight of hand. We're talking about using the old magic formulas, quantum science, but we're using aromatherapy and herbs and oils and plants and spells to bring about all of the things that we say that we want.
See, I love the way you Americans, right, say herbs. I love it. So it's just one of those funny things that I always hear, herbs. And I'm thinking, is that the same as herbs? But it's just the fun that we have with language, isn't it? Okay, so that's fantastic. And all the contact details will be in the program notes, Ellie. So if you want to add anything else to my program notes, then send it across to me and it'll all be there. But so anyone listening, don't grab a pen, because you can find it all in the notes on the podcast that you listen to this particular recording on. So that's going to be how you find Ellie. Thank you, Ellie. Last question time. All right. And I'm going to ask you something I ask all my guests. I'd like to know, what was the last piece of music that you listened to?
Okay. Peaky Blinders. And it's the theme song for Peaky Blinders. And the name of the song is actually, I have to tell you, I don't even know the name of the song. God, isn't that terrible? Is that terrible? I have to look
No,
up the name of the song.
it's not terrible.
It's a theme song for Peaky Blinders. And let me find, so I go, let me check my Spotify now. I need to know the name of this song. Okay. Sorry. Just need to know the name of the song.
It's okay.
It is called Red Right Hand. It is the theme song from Peaky Blinders by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Fantastic. And why Peaky Blinders, Ellie? This is the insight into your psychology. Why Peaky Blinders?
Because this is a man who is limitless. And one of my favorite lines in the show is when, I don't want to share any details in case people are watching, somebody says to him, "You do not know your limits," okay, trying to control him. And he said, "That's right, because I am limitless."
And that's something that appeals, I think, right across the board, doesn't it? And I'm ashamed to say, I don't even know what Peaky Blinders is. But as soon as we come off this particular broadcast, I'm going to go and Google it to find out. But
It's Netflix.
I'm sure it's
It's
something
Netflix.
worth watching. So just give me the title again. It's called.
Peaky, Blinders, Blinders. Peaky Blinders. It's on Netflix.
And the piece of music.
Is Red Right Hand.
I thought I'd catch you out, but it's okay. Red, white hand. It's been an amazing hour. Thank you,
Thank you.
Ellie.
And it's been timeless. Thank you. Thank
I
you.
know. I know. We've touched on some quite stratospheric questions, and I think you've coped very well with the things that we've put out there because there's no pre-warning, is there? And it's a tantamount to the fact that we're still thinking on the same levels. That we can have the conversation that we do. And I'm sure that the people will go and love you and find you and want to know you even more because of the way that you react and talk. So thank you. And thank you for spending this time with us here at Twist of the Misunderstood.
Thank you, Dominic. It's been fun and my pleasure, and I look forward to continuing our conversations. Thank you.